Cet épisode de Beauty Toaster a été réalisé avec le soutien de My Little Box, la box lifestyle qui fait du bien. Avec My Little Box, recevez tous les mois au moins 5 produits qui créeront la surprise dans votre boîte aux lettres. 3 soins beauté et 2 accessoires mode ou déco. En plus de son côté mode et lifestyle, My Little Box propose tous les mois un produit de beauté de sa marque My Little Beauty conçu à base d'ingrédients naturels. On y retrouve également des marques comme Garancia, MAC, Clinique, Egyptian Magic ou encore Nuxe. Croyez-moi, vous ne serez jamais déçus. D'ailleurs, avec Noël qui approche, ça pourrait être une bonne idée cadeau, vous ne trouvez pas? Et comme chez My Little Box, on adore les surprises, les nouvelles abonnées pourront bénéficier de 5 euros de réduction pour l'achat de leur première box avec le code BeautyToaster, valable jusqu'au 31 décembre. Alors rendez-vous sur le site mylittlebox.fr.
So sustainability kind of manifests itself across... We try and look at the entire supply chain, so from every single ingredient we use and the very beginning of that ingredient all the way through to how that ingredient is harvested, how it gets to the UK, how it's manufactured, and then what we package it in, and then how it's sold to our consumers.
This is a special announcement for my French audience. Cette interview s'est déroulée en anglais. Pour les auditeurs non anglophones, je signale qu'une traduction intégrale est disponible sur le blog beautytoaster.fr. Hi, I'm Chantal Soutarson, a French beauty and wellness journalist. I'm your host on Beauty Toaster, the first beauty and wellness podcast in French. But sometimes I receive some English-speaking guests. So, for this third episode in English, I interviewed Elsie Rutherford and Dominika Minarovic, the two young women behind Bybee, one of the coolest British brands. Together, we discuss all things about how they made their own way from DIY beauty to creating Bybee. We talked about their strong values, about sustainability, and how they made it possible to become entrepreneurs after being influencers. I really hope you'll enjoy our chat. Put your headphones on. It's Beauty Toaster time. Hello, Elsie.
Hello.
Hello, Dominika.
Hello, bonjour.
How did you meet?
We met while we were working together. It was quite a long time ago now, maybe 7 years, 6 or 7 years. We were working in advertising and we joined the same company at the same time in very similar roles and spent a lot of time together. And we were good colleagues and good friends. And that's how the sort of business relationship started, really.
And did you already have a passion for cosmetics?
I think we definitely had a passion for cosmetics, but more from a consumer perspective, i.e. we were massive beauty junkies and lovers. I guess for different reasons, I've always been really into like spa and like relaxation and massages and the indulgent side of beauty. And I know Elsie's always been really passionate about kind of colour and experimentation and using beauty as a way to express creativity and personality. So I think we both had a passion from different angles, but we were kind of united over our shared love of beauty for sure.
And is it true that it all started in a kitchen? You were more into cooking than into beauty at the beginning, that right?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't start with cooking, but it was kind of like cooking for your skin. And we looked at what people were doing with food. So we were really inspired by the kind of movement towards understanding food a little better and just looking at healthy eating and that sort of wellness scene. We thought that was really great. And we were really into, you know, making things like green smoothies. And that sort of started the passion for it. And we kind of thought, could we do the same, but for beauty? And that naturally started in the kitchen because we basically were raiding our fridge and we were like, hey, we've got some avocados. Should we see if we can just pop it on our face? Will it have the same benefits that it would if we were eating it internally?
Of course.
Yeah.
And in 2015, you created your own blog named Clean Beauty Insiders. What was it about?
I guess the start of Clean Beauty Insiders was our journey switching out our mainstream products to natural alternatives. And because we were quite disappointed with what we found in terms of mainstream kind of natural brands and what was available in the high street or kind of like pharmacy stores, we decided to make our own products.
Why did you think it was the products were not that funky or whatever?
Yeah, I think that at that time natural was still very niche and very alternative, so actually what we found was the formulations were very basic. They didn't have the sophistication around or the science really, or they didn't market themselves in that way, but also exactly they weren't funky, they weren't cool, they weren't aesthetic.
No glamorous.
Yeah, not necessarily getting the same experience as we were used to when we were going to Selfridges and Sephora. And I mean, that's one of the main reasons why we started Bybee, was because we just couldn't really find what we were after. But Clean Beauty Insiders was long before Bybee, and it was very much our journey and a documentation of us making our own products, sharing those recipes, building a community, starting conversations around natural, which really hadn't been done in the UK at that point.
And it was a big success right at the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, we like to think so. I mean, success, you know, I think what we did was develop a really loyal and engaged fan base, and that kind of propelled us to continue with the blog and then eventually start our brand, because we genuinely felt that there was a passion around what we were doing. And I think that we had really kind of found something new, something exciting, and talked about an industry that had been around for a while, but not in a very exciting way. So we felt excited to keep going.
And I heard that you also attended a course at Formula Botanica. Did you already have in mind to do a beauty business?
When we took that course, yes, we did. So the journey for us was sort of, we got into the kitchen and started making our own products. We really enjoyed it. We started to build a community. We thought, this could probably be a business. It's quite interesting. It's a growing sector. All of our friends were saying, can we buy that balm that you've just made us from you? So we were like, hang on a second, we should be charging money for this, really. But we did feel that not coming from beauty backgrounds might be a hindrance. So we decided to find somewhere that we could study whilst we were still working. And Formula Botanica is an online kind of distance learning course.
Okay.
So we studied natural skincare formulation. And that was really helpful in just grounding the knowledge base that we'd already started to grow by experience in, you know, making our own skincare. And it gave us, it sort of elevated our knowledge base and helped us to then go on and write a book, which was published by Penguin, which is our recipe book. So that course was really instrumental in just elevating us to the next stage and pitching us as experts.
And how did you get the idea of writing a book?
I think the content that we were sharing was literally recipes. So for us, it worked really well in kind of the written form with a visual, and then that really easily translated to a book. I think there was a big kind of like rise in clean eating at the time in the UK. There were a lot of books being published, so it was quite easy for us to go in and pitch ourselves as like the beauty equivalent of like clean eating. It was very much around superfoods and foods that you have in your fridge and how you can make really customized bespoke beauty products with those foods. So the story was easy, and we actually got a lot of interest from book publishers. So it was a super exciting time for us to have a book published. Is the most amazing experience, and something that, you know, we'll have forever. So it was, you know, so great for us to be able to publish our work in the printed form as well.
So Bybee was born a few months after the book. Why was it important for you to create your own brand?
I think we'd realized that there was a gap in the market, and we were excited about being the people to fill that gap. We're very ambitious people. and for us, we knew that we wanted to start something of our own. And when we realized where we could kind of fill, we got really excited. So I think Dominika touched on it earlier, but we wanted to bridge the gap between a brand that upheld great ethics, both from a formulation point, so great ingredients, not just full of water, not full of synthetic fillers that don't have any benefit for the skin. So formulation at its heart, but that also stood for things like veganism, cruelty-free and sustainability. But we wanted to package it up in a way that looked and felt like a modern, relevant, fresh beauty brand. And that for us was our kind of catalyst, our light bulb moment. And we felt then and truly still feel now that there is still a gap and there aren't many people playing in this space. So it's important for us to create that brand and make natural and sustainable beauty available and accessible to a more mainstream audience and not just be a niche brand that you would find in a health food store.
And were you inspired by other brands? No. Apparently you, no.
We were definitely.
I think at that time there was a massive influx of really exciting independent brands like Glossier. There are so many brands that we take inspiration from. I think for us, our values of vegan, cruelty-free and sustainable isn't just limited to beauty. And actually we can take inspiration from a lot of really other innovative entrepreneurs that have those values. But beauty is a really exciting space at the moment. And we definitely look to our peers from packaging, from marketing, from distribution, from Instagram following, how they engage with their community, how they build a community. So there are a lot of brands, particularly independent new brands that we take inspiration from.
English, American, French, wherever.
Yeah, I would say brands like Glossier, Drunk Elephant, in the UK we love, Isle of Paradise, and there are some great other natural brands in the UK as well.
Okay. And tell us more about Baby. What makes it different from others?
What do we stand for? So we are 100% natural. We are registered vegan with the Vegan Society and certified cruelty-free with Leaping Bunny. And then a piece that's really important to us is sustainability. And that has become more and more important as the brand has grown. I think there's a growing consumer awareness of environmental impact. And we've noticed that our consumers are really aware of it. And we both as individuals feel super passionately about operating just with a better understanding of the impact that we have when it comes to the environment. So sustainability kind of manifests itself across, we try and look at the entire supply chain. So from every single ingredient we use and the very beginning of that ingredient, all the way through to how that ingredient is harvested, how it gets to the UK, how it's manufactured, and then what we package it in, and then how it's sold to our consumers. So we're doing things across that entire supply chain. But, the most obvious things to look at are things like our packaging. So we use glass wherever possible, which is infinitely recyclable. We print directly on it so that it doesn't interfere with the recycling process like labels do. We use a bioplastic that's derived from sugarcane that's both degradable as well as recyclable. So we're doing a lot in that area, and that area is becoming increasingly our kind of pillar of what we really stand for. And the goal for us is to be the world's biggest sustainable beauty brand. But having said that, it doesn't mean that we compromise on the performance of our products. Okay. So we make great beauty products. That is, we use great ingredients. They really work. They're going to make you glowing and dewy and happy, healthy skin. But we do it in an environmentally responsible way. And that is by B.
Okay. And although DIY was one of your first passions, you didn't make Baby DIY brand. Why?
I think that DIY is still fairly niche. And I think the idea that people in this modern life have the time to go and make beauty products every day from scratch is a wonderful thought, but probably not very practical. However, we I mean, part of the reason why we created Bybee was to create a brand at scale that had really good ethics that we could start to implement change. So while Bybee is not a DIY brand, we create products en masse for a reason. However, we like to try and bring philosophies of DIY into the range. So for example, our booster range is we've got 5 small boosters, 15 mils, cold press oils, and essentially they're potent kind of boosters that you can add into your existing skincare routine. And actually that's a very kind of natural DIY concept. You can mix something up on the back of your hand, in the palm of your hand, depending on what your skin type is feeling at that time or how your skin is changing. And you don't have to go out and buy a new moisturizer every time. So that customization and that bespokeness is really why we loved DIY beauty, more so than necessarily the act of making something fresh every day, which, you know, we still try and do, but it's just, you know.
Modern life is exactly.
It's fun though. It can be fun jumping into the kitchen. But
of course,
now that we're entrepreneurs or creators, as we as we call it, we don't have the time so much anymore.
That's it. And are there any ingredients that you will never use in Bybee, or would you be ready to compromise?
So as things stand at the moment, we formulate 100% natural. So we don't use anything synthetic. And we formulate vegan and cruelty-free, so we don't use any animal derivatives or byproducts, and we don't use anything that's been tested on animals. The latter two, vegan and cruelty-free, we will not compromise on. There's no reason to. There's just no place for animal byproducts in formulations these days, particularly not skincare. You know, colour cosmetics is slightly different and maybe slightly harder, but skincare, it's really easy to be a vegan skincare brand. So we won't compromise on that. Natural, if you'd asked us a year ago, maybe we would have had a different answer. But the only reason we might compromise, and this would be further down the line and in the future, at the moment we're 100% natural and we don't compromise on that. The only reason that we might do in the future, if it comes to this, is if there is an ingredient in question whereby it's actually more sustainable to create it synthetically than harvest it naturally. And that is something that we have to be open to be flexible on as a brand, because if we're saying, you know, as I mentioned earlier, sustainability is our core pillar, then we do have to be open to having to move and be flexible and be dynamic with our approach to some things. And it might be that a natural ingredient isn't the most sustainable option. So we're not closing off that at the moment. If you buy a Bybee product, you can know that everything is 100% natural in it. But if further down the line there's a more sustainable option that doesn't compromise on skin benefit, then it's something that we would be open to a discussion with.
And are organic and vegan beauty a huge thing in Britain at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. I think the rise in awareness around climate change and the environment mean that people are more naturally moving to these kind of ethical brands, because they believe that, not from just a packaging perspective, but the actual formulations are better for their health or the environment, which to a certain extent is true. And I think particularly with vegan beauty, a lot of people just don't believe that animal byproducts have a place in skincare, nor do they have a place being tested on animals. And I think those two things, people tend to have that value hand in hand. So it is definitely, you know, we don't like to say that it's a trend, because hopefully it's a movement that will actually kind of impact in a long-term and permanent way. But it's definitely a rising kind of like question that people are asking, and a concern of consumers.
And do consumers mistrust the traditional beauty industry as much as we do here in France? I mean, in Britain, are they a little bit...
A little bit skeptical.
Yeah, skeptical.
Yeah, I think so. I think that this has been driven by the modern digital world and the fact that information is so readily and easily accessible now. And that just means that brands who have for decades not had to share things like full ingredients lists or their best, the way that they run their brands or
practices.
Yeah, exactly, best practices. That information is now kind of readily available for a consumer who wants to find it, which means that there is a bigger demand for transparency and therefore a bigger demand to do things better. So yes, I would absolutely say that there is a bit of, I think it's like maybe not always mistrust. I think it's more just people want better now.
Yeah.
Like they just want better across the board, you know, we're like not just food, fashion, beauty. And so they will go the extra mile to find out if what they're buying is actually better. And what then happens is the bigger brands get kind of called out for, you know, not being great when it comes to the ingredients they use or whatever. So I think, it's a positive thing. It's great that the consumers are approaching things in a savvy and well-researched way, for sure. And it is pushing brands to just generally do better across the board, which I think is a positive movement.
And Baby is available in several countries now. What is the next step of development for the brand?
I think there's still so much exciting things that we can do in skincare that we're not necessarily looking to move out of what our core kind of like expert area is, which is definitely skincare. I think that we are, quite globally available, primarily through Sephora. Actually, they're a really important partner for us. So we're available across Europe, Australia, Southeast Asia. I think for us, it will be about getting Baby into more people's hands. So definitely there's areas of the world that we haven't tapped into. And even I think in the US, Sephora US.
US,
if you're listening.
Not less.
And Canada, more of Europe, Middle East. I think, there's still so much to do. And also in the UK, I think we would love to become a household name in our home market. There's no, brands quite like us in the UK. So it would be great for people to really know about us and feel passionate about what we're doing, because I think we can create really great change from a sustainability perspective in our home market. So there's still loads for us to do and create more amazing skincare products, because we're missing some of the core essentials, like more cleansers, more moisturizers, but they are definitely coming. Okay. So stay tuned.
Okay. And no body or hair products?
Not for now.
We
have a couple of products that can be definitely used on the body. There's no reason why you can't use skincare on your face, but it's not a specific body product. No, they're all skincare for now.
Okay. I know that you also have a podcast.
We do.
Yeah. Where did you find the time to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we try and just cram it in. The thing is, we like to talk, if you haven't guessed that already from this interview. So once we dedicate the time to do it, we really enjoy it. So for us, it's just about making sure that we block out the time and we force ourselves to do it and we don't let it slide. It's not as regular as, as we'd like. I guess it's once every 2-3 weeks, depending on when we can find the time in our schedules.
It's good.
Yeah, it's not bad. We keep it going. We've got 12 episodes now, so there's a lot to listen to.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, what is it? What is it talking about?
It's about beauty. It's about running a business. It's about sustainability. We just talk about what we're passionate about, and it's those three things. So we share, we're really open. We share our journey. We talk a lot about business from a business and entrepreneurship side, because we get a lot of people asking us. So a lot of topics from the money that we've raised running the business, the challenges that we face, how we got into Sephora, all kinds of things. But then equally, we'll talk about our favorite beauty products.
Yeah, and I heard that.
Yeah, going for a facial at Sunday Riley. Yeah. And so it's just, if you want to tune in and hear two beauty entrepreneurs talk about what they get up to,
That's very interesting. I listened to some episodes.
Oh, great.
So welcome to the Pod Fam.
Yes. Yeah, the Pod Fam.
Yes, we're finally in the Pod Fam.
We've made it.
Well, thank you, Elsie. Thank you, Dominika.
Thanks so much.
Merci de nous avoir écoutés. Au fait, je vous ai dit qu'en plus de soutenir cet épisode, My Little Box a glissé dans sa box d'octobre un soin baby full size en plus de 5 autres surprises. Avec le code Beauty Toaster, c'est 5 euros de réduction valable jusqu'au 31 décembre sur la toute première box achetée, une occasion idéale de découvrir cette super marque. Alors rendez-vous sur le site mylittlebox.fr. This was Beauty Toaster. Merci for listening to our chat. Do not hesitate to rate and review Beauty Toaster on Apple Podcasts. It will help other listeners to discover and maybe enjoy it. And please follow us on Instagram to know about the next episodes, especially those in English. À bientôt!